quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. We have a great show in store this week. We're speaking to Tom Corley, the author of Rich Habits, teaches you how to make money by studying rich people. We're talking to Ron Rocha, the inventor of the dustless sander. We're talking as a group to Sharon Olson and Hanya Hoisted. They talk about the danger of inflammation and how that causes disease. We're speaking to Neil Schreck, talks about the power of giving to charity and philanthropy. And again, we're speaking to a returning guest, Halle Resnick. She's an expert on dealing with kids and is going to tell you what to do with your kids during the summer. I also recommend you go to our website, stuartvenner.com. On our podcasts, we have a new Freak of the Week, and it'll blow your mind. It's such a crazy interview, we can't possibly play it on regular radio, but I think you're going to enjoy it. Please stay tuned.
Folks, I've got a great guest on the line. We're going to be speaking to Tom Corley. Tom is a very interesting guy, and he's going to tell us his story and what he's doing now to help people. But Tom knows the difference between being rich and poor. At age 9, his family went from being multimillionaires to poor, and that was like overnight. Is that right, Tom?
That's right. I'd never forget it. I was in the third grade, and my dad's business had the warehouse burnt down, and the next thing we knew, we spent the next year trying to recover our lives.
That's a horrible story. I remember a story once my grandmother used to tell me. There was this huge fire raging, and this little guy kept running underfoot, and the fireman finally turned to him and said, "Get out of the way." He said, "Can't you see we're busy?" And he said, "Mr. Fireman, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be working here tonight."
Oh, my God.
But that's not your story.
No. No, I don't think anybody intentionally set that fire, that's for sure.
I'm sure of that. So tell us what you're doing now and what you've learned from this and what you're doing to help people.
Well, I guess it's one of the reasons why the notion of wealth and poverty have stuck into my head. It really wasn't until I had a business client who came into my office shortly after I had just taken over this surfacing company, the CPA firm I had. And he was a small business client. His business was struggling. The bank had just pulled his line of credit. And he came in desperate for me to, I guess, throw him some Hail Mary pass with some of my banker relationships.
Right.
But I couldn't. Nobody could. It was just not enough time. Anyway, he couldn't make payroll that week. He couldn't make payroll for that month. His business really went into bankruptcy. But the point is, at that point, he realized in his mind that he was doing things wrong. What got him to where he was, which was in my office crying and begging for help, was the question he asked me was, what am I doing wrong? What is it that your successful clients are doing that I'm not doing? Why am I poor and why are others wealthy? And, Stuart, I spent the next 5 years trying to answer that question, and I did. I researched. I interviewed 233 wealthy people and 128 poor people, asking them what became my famous 20-question list.
Right.
I gathered 149 daily activities, data on 149 daily activities. And what I uncovered or what I discovered was that wealthy people have dramatically different daily habits than poor people. In fact,
really, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's really so large.
Can you give me an example or two? So, you know,
one of them is, for example, wealthy people are fanatics when it comes to self-improvement. They spend, two of the data points that I tracked were how much time do they spend every day engaged in some type of self-improvement, reading, in particular stuff about their industry, books about their industry, their careers, and wealthy people spend 88% of them 30 minutes a day or more doing this kind of self-improvement reading. Conversely, 98% of the poor in my study did not engage in that activity. So wealthy people had this rich habit of continuous self-improvement. Poor people didn't. Another thing I found was that wealthy people engaged in about 20 to 30 minutes a day of aerobic activity, and poor people didn't, for the most part.
Really?
And
you mean physical exercise?
Yeah, yeah, but but primarily aerobic, Stuart. And when I asked the question why, you know, after I was gathering this information, I found that some of the reasons for it that were given were they increase their oxygen to their brain, keep the weight down, gives them more energy. They felt the aerobic activity gave them more energy, reduced the number of sick days, enabled them to work longer, enabled them to have a longer career, and all of this really points to increased productivity, and increased productivity translates into dollars, and this is one of the major reasons wealthy people engage in aerobic activity.
It's very interesting. I think people also have to be realistic. I mean, sometimes you might have a business, but you can't fall in love with that business. And sometimes a business just needs to end, and you need to move on to other things.
Yeah, I think wealthy people have a pretty good handle on moderation. That was one of the rich habits, or the habits, the daily activities that I tracked. They engage in moderation in every aspect of their life. So they do get that, Stuart. They want to have enough time to spend with their family. It's very important. Family was very important in my study to wealthy people. And the idea of teaching these rich habits to their children was equally important. So they wanted that time with their family to help educate their kids.
That's fascinating. And now you yourself, you're a CPA. You're a certified financial planner. You have a master's degree in taxation. You've got a pretty impressive resume.
Yeah, I stumbled into the self-improvement rich habit when I was 24, 25, at that point, I did not think I would ever be able to pass the CPA exam. My family, we didn't have the rich habits. I wasn't built up my self-esteem and my self-image. We had eight in my family. For the most part, I was beaten up by my brothers.
That's terrible.
How big Irish families are. It was just one of those things. I'm exaggerating, of course, but my parents really didn't have the time to sit down and have a conversation with us about doing the right things. We got it from example. One of the habits I picked up from studying for the CPA exam was this rich habit of ongoing self-improvement, and I never stopped. I just stumbled into that, Stuart, thank God, because it led me to where I am
career,
today.
Sure. So, I mean, when you say a CPA, so the folks out there are listening, he's a certified public accountant. That's not cleaning, pressing, and alterations.
No, and it doesn't mean couldn't pass accounting either.
And now tell us, you've written the book, and tell us about your book and how people can get to it and read it.
Sure. The name of the book is Rich Habits. It's a summary of the daily success habits of wealthy individuals. It's a really 10 core daily habits that wealthy people have that poor people don't have. And they're real boots on the ground stuff. It's not pie in the sky, you know, work hard, think correctly. It's really shows you, the book teaches the readers how to tie their shoes in the morning, how to put one foot in front of the other. I get into real specific activities, very detailed oriented, and you can get it at richhabits.net. You can get both books, the ebook and the hard copy book, and you can get it on Amazon and just about everywhere in the United States. Some of my readers have written me from Boston all the way down to Boca Raton, Florida.
Well, I think it's really fascinating. I think everyone out there listening should certainly get that book, unless you just want to be a schlub your whole life and not do anything. But if you want to succeed and if you want to get rich, you got to act like a rich person and do the things that rich people do. And Tom has made a very comprehensive study of this. So you go to richhabits.net and get that book, and then you too will maybe get rich. At least it's a lot better chance than you have not reading it.
Yeah, there'll be no excuse for not becoming wealthy. The only excuse you'll have is you just realize you don't want to do certain things that are required in order to become wealthy, and that's okay. Then you know, I really don't want to become wealthy.
Yeah, some people just don't.
But it takes the excuse away.
But people, I think most people really do, and if you want to learn, if you want to get wealthy, you have to learn the tricks and the tactics and the habits, I guess, that you must do each day to achieve that goal.
That's right. There are strategies that I talk about in the book that, you know, one of the reports that is on my website at richhabits.net is how to make yourself unfireable. I have reports on goal setting. Wealthy people, to do what I found out, I didn't understand the definition of a goal. To wealthy people, a goal is only a goal when it has two things. One is physical activity. There's got to be some physical activity associated with the goal. And number two, it has to have a 100% achievability rate.
Right. You have to be realistic. I mean, I can say I want to make $1 million tomorrow, but if I say I want to make a couple thousand, that's more realistic.
Yeah, and also you can take your wish of wanting to make $1 million. I had one insurance agent who was in one of my seminars. His goal was to make an additional $100,000 in commissions and life insurance. He failed at that goal for about 4 years. I had him at my goal-setting seminar, and we actually took his wish of $100,000 and broke it down into the actual goal, the daily goal, which was making 10 additional telemarketing phone calls a
sure.
day. And he blew past his he blew past $200,000 that year in
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
That's marvelous.
Yeah, so this stuff works.
I have one final question. I'm just curious. Did your father ever recover?
We did when I was when I was older. When I graduated college, my dad somehow we held on to the house, although it was continuously in foreclosure over, I don't know, 14 years, I guess.
So, yeah.
But he sold the house and he made quite a bit of money, held on to that, and then was able to retire here in New Jersey. He moved from Staten Island, New Jersey, and so he did recover. He's 91 years of age, and you know, he's honest about it now. When we talk, he said, "Boy, you know, so many things I should have done." And the thing is, Stuart, we are only as smart as our parents are our mentors. That's the best shot we have at having mentors in life. Most of us only get one shot, and it's our parents.
That's very true, and this is why I think in many cases you see so much failure when
yeah.
the parents really haven't achieved anything themselves and don't teach you the right habits.
It's exactly what I must have spoken to 2,000 parents and teachers and students over the last 18 months trying to teach them these rich habits, because I understand that if you don't know these rich habits, how can you possibly teach them to your kids?
That's right.
So I'm trying to get right to the parents, teach it to the parents. I do whatever I can to get in their head, get in their face, so I can educate them.
Tom, you're a great guest. I can't thank you enough for being on the show, and I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot myself.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
I have a really interesting guest online. We're speaking to Juan Roca. Juan is the inventor of the dustless sander. He's had 40 years' experience as a general contractor. He's worked on multi-billion-dollar projects in Las Vegas casinos, luxury hotel chains, and he's found the way to solve the problem that's caused by dust in new construction and in remodeling, I imagine, too. Good morning, Ron.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Tell us about your dustless sander.
Yeah, it's four different attachments, and it attaches directly to any shop vac. Very simple. It's got a sanding, abrasive sanding block that goes inside of it. It's replaceable, and the sanding block also has two different smooth side on one side and a rougher on the other one, and to switch it around. There's nothing attached. You don't have to just stick it in there and go to work.
So you can have different types of sanding surfaces, in other words, fine or coarse,
correct.
I imagine.
Correct. You can do cabinets, drywall, docks, boats, especially here in California, out at the harbor. It's you need to have some type of a dustless tool to do any type of sanding. It'll shut you down for the APA.
So when you're working in your house, you don't need to put down plastic, and it's not going to make any kind of mess.
Correct.
That's amazing.
When you work inside, I did a kitchen for a friend about the beginning of the year. It was a insurance job, and never put a piece of plastic. I never got any dust in the rooms. I did the whole kitchen, the cabinets, the walls. It was and hardwood floors. So it's pretty neat.
That's amazing. How did you? What made you think of doing something like this?
Well, I retired from construction trade about 6 years ago, and I've been doing this stuff for friends. I always wanted to help people out, and it was a neighbor down the street that had done a lot of work for her. She decided she wanted more work done, and I was freaking out because I had to do the sanding. I didn't want to just hire somebody for the day and do it myself. So I started playing around with stuff in my tinker lot in a garage, and I put this together, and it worked. I couldn't believe it, and I tried to find it. I couldn't find it on the internet, nowhere, so I made my own. I made a complete set, and that's how I started out.
And you have a patent pending on this. You have, I understand,
yes,
more
I
than 100 patent protections on this item.
Yes, the patent will be published sometime at end of August, first of September.
That's quite a project in itself. That's not a cheap thing to do, is it?
No, it's not. It's really expensive. Yeah, it does. You hit it right on the button on there.
Yeah, I know that's an expensive process. And are you selling this anywhere? Is it available in stores, or how can someone get it?
At the present time, no. I'm right now waiting for the licensing agreement with the major tool companies. There's right now about 8 or 9 companies that are very interested, and they're looking at it as we speak. And if that doesn't happen, then I will put it in the market. I do have companies ready to manufacture.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money to be made. I think you're going to get very rich on one.
It's got at wholesale, there's probably at least anywhere from $60 to $80 profit on that.
Well, that's fantastic.
Very, very inexpensive to make. And also, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's taking a great idea to market. You know, many years ago, I had a business partner who's a brother-in-law. His brother-in-law's father invented the drill press.
Oh, okay.
Bergmaster, he called the company. And I guess he licensed it to everyone, and he made a fortune. But, you know, you might think of perhaps even licensing the idea to other companies and not selling the whole thing outright. There's a lot of ways you can market this.
There is, yeah. That's my intent right now, to license it with some company and just enjoy the money.
Yeah, you've got a great idea. If people want to see about it, do you have a website, or how can people look at it?
I have on YouTube. It's under Sanimvac Pro, and there's a video on it. You can see it, and that's what I have right now.
I watched it. I think it's fantastic. So everyone, if you go to YouTube and just type in Sand and Vac Pro, SandandVacPro, then you'll get to see Juan's dustless sander. And it really works. I watched that movie. It's amazing.
It's 100% dust proof, especially in dust clouds. And I think that's the biggest problem is dust clouds.
Oh, sure. And then that's going to meet the EPA and HUD standards and everything.
Not only that, it's good for your health, because for years, not only being a general contractor, being a general superintendent, I worked on high-rise. We're going to do a lot of, Disney Concert Hall. I worked on Bellagio, casino work, and I would, as soon as those guys would come in and start sanding, I left the building and sat in the trailer because I just couldn't handle that dust. It would just irritate my skin.
So you don't need to wear those masks on your face?
Well, you should always wear a mask regardless, but there's no dust coming out, so you really don't need the mask. I would still recommend that you use a mask. Protection for yourself.
That's really amazing. And Juan, thank you very much for coming on the show. And everybody, go to YouTube and look at the Sand and Vac Pro, and you'll remember hearing from Juan before he got rich, because I think he's going to get rich.
Thank you, Juan, so much for being on the show. Thank you.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, I have two great ladies online. I have Sharon Olson and Hanna Hoisted. They are working together, and they are going to talk about inflammation, which is the root of all diseases, according to them. Sharon is our first person we're going to speak to. Sharon, how would you describe, and what is inflammation?
Okay, well, inflammation in the body is... I just say there's two types of inflammation. There's acute inflammation, and that's when you cut yourself and you get an immediate reaction, you know, inflammation around the area becomes red and so on. And that's normal, you know, for your body to react that way. But the problem is when you have, you know, continued inflammation in the body, which is called chronic inflammation, and that kind of destroys our organs and our ability to function optimally, and it leads to chronic disease and rapid aging. So some examples, you can develop arthritis, or you could go into Alzheimer's.
Is diet important in controlling inflammation?
Your diet is very important in controlling that, and it's you want to look at things like whole foods, you know, high fibers, nothing with lots of sugar or your trans fats in there. And you make sure that you're getting your healthy fats, such as your omega-3 fats, which you can get through either supplements.
So in other words, everything I don't eat, you should eat.
Everything you don't eat.
And everything that I do eat, you should probably avoid, like my bacon and my fat back and my fried food. Maybe I could have avoided my hemorrhoid surgery if I'd have eaten a little better.
Yeah, and so, that's really important. And, of course, exercising and make sure you're avoiding some of your allergens. And you want to make sure one thing is important is to try and heal the gut, because the gut, a lot of your immune system is in your gut and everything like that. So it's important to heal that and make sure it's working properly. And it's a good idea to take maybe probiotics, such as your acidophilus.
How long have you been working with Hanna on this?
Oh, years.
Really?
Years.
Mm-hmm. And you've written a book, haven't you?
Well, I wrote a book called Improve Your Health with Minerals, which is separate, and it talks about your deficiencies in minerals and how that can affect your body also.
And you're working on a second book now, I understand.
I am working on a second book. It's going to be on our environmental illness or multiple chemical sensitivities, which people can, develop over time through being constantly exposed to things in our air, mold, chemicals, the products that we use, on our body, our hair, shampoos, everything.
It's a different world than we used to have.
Well, back in the caveman diet or whatever, talking about that, they didn't use all those chemicals sprayed on our products to help our foods grow, and a lot of that's the big cause because the way we farm and everything has changed,
of course.
Just, eating more and more chemicals. And we're seeing children that are developing more and more allergies.
All these hormones can't be very good for you, I don't imagine.
No, no. And all of this makes more inflammation in your body. So what the researchers have found is that all this inflammation is causing some of these diseases that you're getting, such as, like I said, the Alzheimer's, which is inflammation in the body, and dementia, inflammation in the brain.
Hmm. Well, Sharon, you've really enlightened us a lot. Now I want to talk to your associate, Hannah, and hear what she has to say about it.
Okay.
Hannah, what is your take on this? I know that Sharon has told us a lot about inflammation, but tell us what you do, and you've been pretty involved in this for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I'm actually a naturopathic doctor, so I have been involved with nutrition for about 35 years, so that's a long time. And inflammation certainly is believed to be one of the reasons that most sicknesses appear. So, inflammation. For instance, so many, many people have pain. So if we can get rid of the inflammation, we can get rid of the pain. So that's really where we should focus. I always recommend, I think it's important to have the...
Well, what about anti-inflammatory drugs? Do you recommend those?
You're asking me about drugs. I am a naturopathic doctor, so I don't recommend any drugs. I always recommend nutritional supplements.
You mean so something like Aleve or Tylenol, even something like that would not be recommended?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm not saying you can't have that, but I mean, keep in mind, naturopathic doctor is all about nutrition and supplements. So from the foods, from things like... for instance, like many things for inflammation. It's like, for instance, just a simple thing as a B complex is needed for the tissue to repair, and then vitamin C is very essential for the healing. For instance, evening primrose oil, flaxseed oil, fish oil, these all things that helps reduce inflammation. Grape seed extract is a great antioxidant. It's very important to have lots of antioxidant that builds up the immune system. And things like bromelain, which has an anti-inflammatory activity. For instance, like in Mexico, they use bromelain to actually cure cancer. And
really?
And bromelain is hardcore of the pineapple, the part that we normally throw away. Well, that's the most important part of the pineapple, the hardcore.
How can you eat that? You grind it up, I guess?
Well, you want to juice it. Yeah, you want to juice it.
Okay.
So a juicer, I should be in a juice business because I recommend to almost all my clients, you need to get a juicer. I don't care what type of illness people have, they need to get a juicer to... I usually have, it's not always the same recipe, but it's kind of simple. Carrot, celery, cucumber, beet, parsley, apple, ginger, and then add lemon juice. Ginger is great for inflammation, and it is used in Europe.
If I put a little scotch in that, would that be okay?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
But you're not going to need it if you put a lot of lemon juice in it. You don't need the scotch.
Really?
So, yeah. And then I also think, of course, there's quite a few other things, like minerals. Our body is made from minerals, so we need to feed the body minerals. So things like the mineral silica or horsetail, which has the same benefits, the one being a mineral, the other one, horsetail, is an herb, and it's not a horse's tail. It's called horsetail. And aloe vera juice, of course, is very, very helpful in inflammation.
Well,
Boswellia is another herb, and then turmeric. I am very much a believer in turmeric.
Well, I've learned a lot today, and I think you've taught me how to change my life. And
I'm
going to get a juicer.
See, in a few minutes.
And I'm going to throw away my Preparation H. And I'm
yes. No, you don't throw that away. You put that on your face.
Really?
Yeah, for wrinkles, if you have any wrinkles.
I don't have wrinkles. I give wrinkles to people.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's like you say, you don't have an ulcer, you just give it to other people, right?
That's right. That's my specialty. Hannah and Sharon, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and it was really great talking to you, and I think we've all learned a lot.
Thank you so much for having us.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. you're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
I'm really happy to have Neil Schreck on the line. Neil is very involved in teaching charities the power of generational giving, which keeps nonprofits really funded forever. In other words, I think we're talking about family philanthropy. Is that right, Neil?
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about what you do and more about family philanthropy.
My pleasure. At Ascendant Planned Giving, we bring strategy to philanthropy. A few years ago, my real passion for this business was ignited when my mother passed away. She was a 12-year breast cancer survivor, and it was only after her memorial service that I saw the kind of impact that one person could have on so many lives. And now, at Ascendant Planned Giving, we view charity as a link to bring family together for generations to come. It's necessary for families to really understand that philanthropy is about more than giving back to the community. It's about keeping the community strong and about giving your children the opportunity to learn the value of not only giving back, but lessons in financial management and responsibility.
Well, you have to have quite a bit of money, don't you, to get started doing something like this?
Actually, you don't. Planned giving traditionally has been viewed as an activity for the wealthy. However, it's really not only an activity for the wealthy. Planned giving is simply any gift that someone can make to an organization that takes a little bit more thought than just writing a check and either mailing it or giving it to the organization. It really becomes an opportunity for someone at any income level, even of very modest means, to have the opportunity to become a giver, the opportunity to be a philanthropist, and support something that they're really very passionate about.
I see what you're saying. So it's really, no matter how much you're donating or what you're pledging and giving, I think you really have to look hard at the charity to be sure that it's really being used for the purpose that you want. It's not all going to some telemarketer and maybe 1% is going for that cause.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's important to take a look at what your vision is, either as a family or as a business, and to then determine, after you've identified what really inspires you and what you're really passionate about, the organizations who are making the most progress or the most impact in that area, and then to talk with the leaders of the organization, to get access to their information, and to really have a hands-on experience so you can see the value of what your gift can make on the lives of the people they serve. Whether it's $1 million or whether it's $1, there are opportunities for everyone to make a positive impact on someone else's life.
And that makes so much sense. And, you know, there's so many scam charities out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be so careful. I mean, you don't want to give your money to someone that's just going to keep someone in their fancy cars. You want this money to be used for the purpose that you really are trying to support.
Very true. I couldn't agree more.
And how do you delve into this? How do you look at this? How do you search for these things?
So, you know how recently and of the past few years, we've seen a very different landscape or a very different atmosphere with giving in today's society? What we're seeing is much less of the larger gifts and many more smaller gifts. And at Ascendant Planned Giving, we view this as very advantageous for today's charities. We want them to be able to be better-minded.
Well, it's got to be a lot better for the charity. I'd rather have 1,000 small donors than one big one, because you lose the one big one, you're in deep trouble.
Absolutely. So the idea would be really to generate more stable revenue streams for the charity long term.
Right.
To focus on the long-term sustainability and success of the organization and its mission, as opposed to focusing on today's dollars, although no one's going to argue that today's dollars are, of course, very important. However, as people in society today sometimes live paycheck to paycheck, sometimes there are charitable organizations out there who live donation to donation. Constantly with their mission in jeopardy, and constantly having to look at different ways to move forward in the future. So really view it as an opportunity to provide these charities with strategies to be able to accept gifts of any kind.
So, Neil, what is your main business? Is working with the charities or working with the donors? Or both?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Our main goal is really to help families strengthen themselves, to build united common bonds between themselves, and to really figure out what it is that they're interested in and what it is that they're passionate about, and then to identify organizations or causes that they might support going forward to accomplish what their vision is. At the same time, it's important, I think, going forward for businesses to be socially minded. And that's really how we operate.
Well, I think that's very important. I mean, Americans are very generous, and they're always the first ones there for any kind of a disaster or any kind of a problem. But I think that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be government mandated.
I agree with you. I think that the power of charity is incredibly strong. It has the power to really bring people together to solve social issues that exist in today's world. Not only to focus on the financial impact that a business or a family can have, but also on the environmental impact and on the social impact that they can have within their own communities.
Plus, when you give, it makes you feel good. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's good for everybody.
It's a feel good. And I believe, and we believe at Ascendant Planned Giving, that most people want to do good.
Yes, they do.
They just oftentimes don't know how.
How can people reach you and learn more about you and probably take help, you know, use your services, Neil?
Sure. People can reach us via our website at www.ascendantpg.com. They have access to our email via the website, and they can also reach us directly by phone at 888-885-0447.
Okay, and you've all got that phone number, but if you didn't get the, let me repeat that web address. It's www.ascendantpg.com, ascendantpg.com. And any of you that are planning on giving and setting up a family charitable foundation or doing family philanthropy or a charity that needs guidance on how to do this, I think Neil is the man. Neil, thank you very much for being on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, welcome back to the show. We have a returning guest, and a really delightful guest, is Halle Resnick. She is the author of Little Patient, Big Doctor, One Mother's Journey. And Halle is an expert on relationships and raising children and dealing with children. Troubled children as well as normal children. Halle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Stuart. It's good to be back. How are you doing?
Wonderful. It's really great to have you back. What I want to talk to you about right now, if we could, is being summertime. What are kids going to do during the summer? And what can the parents do to try to make it go normally and nicely?
Okay, well, you know, let's take the first easy avenue, because they say money solves all problems. Send the kids to camp if you can do it. Send them out to get a different type of experience that they normally wouldn't get, if it's possible, if it's in your budget and available where you are, because it gives the kids a way to see the world that they normally wouldn't. It's not their everyday grind of school.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Camps are really good. I know I enjoyed it when I was a child.
It's a good one, but, you know, not always something that every parent can do, because the cost of camps can be really high. So if you are in a position where your children are at home, it gets a little bit more complicated, Stuart. I'm not going to lie to you.
I know that. I mean, things are expensive today, and a lot of people are hurting a little bit financially. So what can you do if you don't have the resources to pay for camp?
If you don't have the resources and you are at home, I'll talk about that in a second, of how you can kind of create a camp-like environment in your own home. If you are not at home, and you have two people or yourself working and can't be there with the kids, then you need to reach out and find other parents or other members of the community that are at home. Maybe they are unemployed right now, and work with them to come up with essentially a summer camp, a homemade summer camp for kids that are in your neighborhood or for your own children.
That makes a lot of sense. It certainly is better than using duct tape.
Absolutely. You definitely can't take these kids, duct tape them and, like, stick them in one spot so they don't move.
Right.
All day. Right. I like that, actually. I'm not endorsing it, but I do understand why we'd want to do it. and you don't really want to spend the summer having them sit in front of the TV or on the computer all day. You know, they get themselves in trouble when they're on the computer, because there's just too much available that we don't really want our kids to be on constantly.
And, you know, there are other resources, too. You had mentioned in some of the information I got from you about extended family members, like grandparents. That can be a good resource, can't it?
Absolutely. Reaching out to grandparents, to friends. And when you go a little further and you start looking into this, there are definitely in a lot of towns across the country where they have free township programs. So you can have your kids go to the library, and they have programs in the library. Sometimes they have clubs that aren't just reading, but activity-based clubs that could work for your children. There are also private places like Barnes & Noble that does programs for kids that are free sometimes.
Well, so I didn't know that. That's very good. Also, right, it's going to help prepare them, isn't it, for school next semester?
Sometimes it can. And if you're willing to do some legwork and you start calling your local fire department or your local banks or the supermarkets, they will sometimes give you free tours of whatever their area is. So if you can get a bunch of kids together and give them a free tour around, then you're giving something for your children to do that's educational. It's not costing you any money.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, if you're traveling with your children, if you're taking a long road trip, license plate bingo can get a little boring. What can you do?
It can. I'll tell you, for most parents these days, they pop in something into their smartphones or they put on a video in the car the whole time. I'm not a big fan of that. I feel like if you're driving out, let them see the country. It's a beautiful place. So an alternative to that is to get books on tape. They have books that are children's books.
So that's a good idea.
And you pop it in. At least, you know, they're listening to something, so they're entertained, but at least they're looking out the window and seeing what's
sure.
out there and getting a sense of where they are.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. They can also learn, too. I mean, there's books where they're educational on tape that they can really learn something at the same time.
Absolutely. You can do it, so long as it's not too boring. It is summer, after all.
Now, if you have the resources and you can't afford it, how do you look for the best summer camp, and what would you recommend?
It gets a little bit trickier here. The first, which is the easiest to go to, is word of mouth of what other people in your community have done. But sometimes the best camp for your kid is something that no one else has done. If you have a child who's interested in computers, there's robotics camps that you can send your child to. There are camps that are geared towards different sports that your kid is interested in, arts or music. So if you have a kid who is particular and interested in one area, get online, start researching it, and I would try and track down references and resources to make sure that it's a safe place, a competent place that you can send your child to. So that's the part that I think most people don't think about, sending their kids to these specialized camps.
I know myself a few years ago, my granddaughter has a weight problem.
Right.
And I sent her to fat camp. I didn't tell her that.
Right, right.
And it was expensive, but she had a wonderful time. They had all kinds of activities, and I don't think she realized that it was the main purpose, I think, was to get her to lose weight, and it did work.
It is a time in the summertime to kind of expand your kids' horizons and pull and let them do things that they otherwise wouldn't, or improve them and help them out in ways that you don't have time during the year. It just gets way too hectic.
So it certainly does.
I'm glad you could do that for your granddaughter. That's a gift.
It was good for her. It really was, and she also felt good because she was with children that were also overweight. So she didn't have the teasing or the shunning that sometimes happens.
It's important because I think sometimes parents hesitate to send their kids to camp because they look at their child and they think, oh, they're not very social. It's not very easy for them to make friends. But if you find a specialized camp, whether it's a camp that you sleep away or a camp that's a day camp, it makes it a little bit easier because you're kids with the same interests as your child, so it allows them to get over that shyness and that hump.
Now, I know, Halle, that one of your main areas of expertise is allergies and food allergies and things like that. And what would you recommend that parents do, especially during the summer when there's a lot of free time, to give the kids proper nutrition and something that's not going to really help create an allergy for them?
Well, in the context of camping, the key word is really preparation. To get in touch with the camp and make sure that they have what is needed in place for your child. And I would say that old adage of you get more bees with honey, certainly true here. You cannot approach institutions with, you know, guns blazing. What do you have for my kid? Get everything right, with that entitled attitude. You have to really approach them from a partnership standing, a viewpoint, and educating the camp itself. So when it comes to allergies in a camp setting, you have to prepare beforehand.
That is one that's good advice. And, you know, I didn't mention to the audience, Halle is quite an impressive resume. She's a lawyer. She's a teacher. She's a public speaker. She's written wonderful books. Can you tell us about your books and how people could learn more and read them, Halle?
Absolutely. Little Patient, Big Doctor is, you know, I write for parents, Stuart, I got to tell you. Nobody has time to sit down and read a, you know, 900-page novel these days. So it's short, sweet, to the point. You'll laugh, you cry. And it's about how all of us have problems with our kids, troubles, whether it's a health issue or an educational issue. It's really at the core how we advocate for our kids. So I share my story with experiences that I've had with my kids. And you can.
And how can they get your book?
You can get it online. You can go on Amazon or any, you know, any bookstore that you're interested in whatsoever. You can get it at any point. And get in touch with me. I'd love to come out and connect with your group, too.
That is wonderful. So, again, we're speaking to Halle Resnick, the author of Little Patient, Big Doctor, One Mother's Journey. Halle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to be here with you.
And have a good summer.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME. This is Stuart Venner. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. In closing, I want to take a few moments to talk about what I feel is going on in the economy. People accuse me of being a pessimist. They say, you're not optimistic. Well, I'm not optimistic nor pessimistic, but I think that I am realistic. a recovery is only as good as the means of attaining it. An artificial recovery is nothing more than what it is, artificial. And believe me, what we're doing now has been fake. The government buying up $80 billion a month worth of mortgage-backed securities is not creating an improvement or a cure of the housing market. Now we're seeing that they're slowing down on buying these securities, and you're seeing interest rates start to rise. I was actually wrong. I predicted this wouldn't happen till about 2015, but it's happening today. And I think by 2015, we're probably going to be looking at much, much higher interest rates. Now, I think we're going to really see a 6 to 6.5% interest rate, which is not a bad interest rate, but compared to a 3% interest rate, it's double that amount. Now, the big problem is we have people that are in homes that just barely squeaked by to get their 3, 3.5% mortgage. Now, they can't refi. They can't refi at 6%. They'd have to have 40 to 50% more income to qualify. They can't sell the house and move on because they don't have nearly enough credit to be able to qualify for the higher mortgage on the newer property. This is going to trickle down when they can't refi. They can't take the money out to buy a big ticket item like cars, vacations, college for their kids. They can't afford to do that. So that's going to trickle down to every industry. What's going to happen when these big hedge funds that have been actually spurring the so-called recovery decide that, well, they're going to cut their losses. They're just going to dump the properties. What's going to happen to real estate at that point? I'll tell you now what's going to happen. You're going to see another recession in the real estate market, just like we had, just like we've been emerging from. Now, on another note, when interest rates go up, what's going to happen to the bond market? I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. When rates go up, bond values go down. That's an absolute. So what's going to happen to our government bonds and the U.S. securities and the stock market? I'm afraid that everything could possibly go straight to hell. So again, I'm not being a pessimist, but I've got to be a realist. And if you're going to invest, be very careful at what you invest in, whether it be hard assets like gold, real estate, the stock market. Get a good advisor, listen to their advice, and be very careful in what you do. Please come back next week. We've got a great show in mind for you. Now, again, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, I urge you to go to our website, stuartvenner.com, and click on Hear Our Shows, because in our shows, there's certain things that we can't put on radio. And we have a new Freak of the Week this week that is so bizarre and so crazy that I think you're going to enjoy it. I wish we could put it on regular radio, but we can't. But you really will enjoy it. Go to stuartvenner.com, listen to our shows, and hear our new Freak of the Week. Thanks, and come back.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?
Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. I'll be the same.
That's all, folks.